Hi, I'm Daniel O'Brien from Physiotherapy Department at Auckland University of Technology.
Hi Kim, I'm Cathy Morton and I'm from Arthritis New Zealand.
And today we're speaking with Professor Kim Bunnell. Kim is a physiotherapist and researcher who has dedicated much of her career thus far to improving the management of hip and knee osteoarthritis. Kim is a Professor of Physiotherapy at the University of Melbourne, as a Principal Research Fellow at the University Centre for Health, Exercise and Sports Medicine. She's published over 300 peer-reviewed articles and is currently in New Zealand as a keynote speaker for this year's New Zealand Manipulative Physiotherapy Association Conference. Welcome, Kim, and thank you for participating in this podcast.
Thanks. It's great to be here to talk to you.
So what are the most important questions that people with osteoarthritis should ask their physiotherapist or GP when first diagnosed with the disease? What kind of conversation might they have?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think before a person goes along to see the health professional, to have a think about what they do want to know and come out with the appointment knowing, because that'll help them to be better prepared. But I think one of the key questions is to really ask the health professional to provide them with information about the different treatment options that are available to them. Provide information about what the evidence is to support those treatment options are, what are the pros and cons, what are the side effects of those treatments, what are the costs of those treatments. So then if you can find out all about that, you'll be in a better place to be able to make a decision about the treatment that's going to best suit you and your circumstances. I think another really important question to ask is, you know, what are the resources or the people, the options that are available to help support me in being able to exercise and, if needed, to help lose weight, because they are really the two key treatments for osteoarthritis. So you need to be able to find out from the health professional what's available to help support you in that, because going to see someone for 10 minutes is not going to be the answer to helping support you for exercise and weight loss. So you need to know where you can go for support, and there's obviously organisations like Arthritis New Zealand as well that can help in that area. And also you might want to ask for a referral to see an exercise professional such as a physiotherapist or a dietitian to help with the weight loss, or some other person with expertise in nutrition. So really going in there armed with the questions that you can get answers to help you self-manage your condition. And self-managing meaning that you're not on your own, but that you'll be getting support as you help take control and manage your knee pain.
Obviously, information saturation can be a bit of a problem. There's information everywhere, and not all of it is useful. Where would you suggest people look for reliable information about osteoarthritis?
Well, you're certainly correct that, you know, on the web, if you Google osteoarthritis and treatment, you'll come up with so many different websites, and it can be confusing because there's a lot of information about it on the web, but not all of it, and in fact a large proportion of it, is actually not evidence-based and not useful and actually wrong. So it is important to get reliable information, and so checking with sources such as Arthritis New Zealand that can provide access and information, or point you in the right direction of material that can be useful. There's websites from Arthritis Australia, and there's a very good one, myjointpain.org.au, which provides information. It's a very interactive website where you can come up with a personalised plan to help manage your osteoarthritis and provide feedback and track your progress. So I think they're really two main sources that will provide very good evidence-based information.
Obviously, exercise is pushed a lot in terms of the management of osteoarthritis, and there's plenty of research to support that. But sticking to exercise is pretty tough, and I know you've done a little bit of research around that and sort of tips or tricks that you have to help people stick to their exercise program.
Sticking with exercise is difficult for anybody. So what we know about exercise for osteoarthritis is that the type of exercise doesn't seem to matter. You can get similar benefits from lots of different types of exercise. So I suppose one of the main tips is to pick exercise that you are going to be more likely to stick with. So, you know, Tai Chi, if you'd like that, or there's strengthening programs that you could do either at home or in a gym, going for a walk, some aquatic exercise, cycling, all of those different forms of exercise can be effective. So it's a matter of finding ones that you like. You can also vary it, which is good for a bit of variety. Also coming up with looking at, well, what are the barriers that seem to be in the way for you, or what are the different facilitators for you, what makes it easy for you to exercise or more likely for you to exercise, and they are different for everyone. So you need to look at, well, what seems to be working for you or not working for you, and especially if in the past you have done exercise for a while, have a think about, well, what made it more likely that you did it then, and why did you stop it? What were the things that you saw got in your way and you stopped? And that can be very valuable. So having failures can be a really useful learning experience, so you can work out what went wrong that time or what helped that time, and then use that this time. So things like, you know, using logbooks to track your progress, or using reminders, setting up SMSs to give you some reminders to do your exercise, enlisting the help of a support person, your partner or your family or a friend is really useful, so you can go off and do the activity together, tracking your progress to see that you're making some gains, rewarding yourself, setting yourself some short-term goals. Don't try and do too much. Just one step at a time. Set yourself some goals that you know that you'll be able to achieve in the short term, and then when you achieve them, reward yourself.
There's lots of apps and sort of innovative technologies that are coming out now. We know they're going to influence how we act and behave. Are there any innovations that you think are going to be really useful for people with osteoarthritis that you're aware of?
There are different apps and so forth that people can use, and I think it all comes down to personal preference. Some people really like those sort of technologies. Others perhaps are less technology familiar, and so they may not like them. So I think it's up to the person to work out whether they're going to be useful. But things like using Fitbits or pedometers can be very helpful, because while we've been talking about doing structured exercise, just increasing one's general levels of physical activity as well are really important. So sort of technologies like that can be very useful to help people increase their levels of daily physical activity.
So is there any good evidence that of alternative or complementary medicine practices, for example, acupuncture, for leading to pain reduction for people with osteoarthritis?
So a lot of people with osteoarthritis are using complementary therapies, and as you said, acupuncture is one of them. Then there's a whole range of different ones. There's sea cucumbers and krill oil and boswellia and curcumin, and there's a list that I have on my slides that's very long. We don't have a lot of good evidence for all of those supplements, if you like, or nutraceuticals. Ones that you probably know the most about are glucosamine and chondroitin. They're probably the ones that people might be most familiar with or have heard about, and they're the ones that have had the most evidence. And the others probably have had much less evidence, or, you know, much less research about them. And with regards to glucosamine and chondroitin, the evidence is really mixed, and in actual fact, most of the clinical guidelines don't recommend them for use. So I suppose it comes down to people, again, weighing up, knowing that there's not very much evidence to support them at all, and in some cases really evidence to show they don't work. They can be costly. You know, you need to look at, do they have any side effects? And then I think, you know, patients make a choice about whether or not they want to try that for them based on the fact that there is actually very limited evidence that they work. Mm-hmm. With regards to acupuncture, there's been a lot of research, much more research around acupuncture. And what the studies show, when you pull all the results of the different studies, is that when you compare acupuncture to no treatment, you find that there is a significant benefit of acupuncture. But when you compare acupuncture to what we call sham acupuncture, where the people don't know that whether or not they're getting the real treatment or the pretend treatment, then in actual fact, the benefits are really much smaller and probably of little clinical consequence. So that really tells us that, as we know with a lot of treatments in osteoarthritis and in other chronic pain conditions, and we've known this for a long time, that what you believe about the treatments and the context of these treatments can make a big difference in their outcomes. So I suppose from the patient's perspective, if they believe that the acupuncture is going to work, then the evidence shows that compared with, you know, not having the treatment, there probably will be some benefit. Mm-hmm. And so again, it's a case of the patient weighing up the costs of the treatment, the accessibility, is there someone who does it in their place? There's very few side effects, so from that perspective, it's not a, you know, there's not big risks with acupuncture. So again, the patient making the decision of do they want to trial, have a short trial of acupuncture and seeing if it works for them.
Are there any myths from sort of your experience of working with clinicians that clinicians hold around osteoarthritis management that we really need to get out of the profession?
Yeah, I think there's some myths and misperceptions, and it's not just physios, it can be GPs and other health professionals and also the patients themselves. And some of those common myths that we want to try and sort of change, and it's things around firstly how you describe osteoarthritis. So we used to describe it, and often still people still do describe it as wear and tear. And that's, we've now sort of moved on with our thinking. We don't refer to it as that. And referring it to wear and tear isn't good from a patient perspective, because if you think something, you're told that the joint's worn out or it's worn away, you've got bone on bone, that's a really negative, sets up a very negative expectation in your, in the patient's mind that there's nothing you can do. The joint's worn out, there's nothing you can do. So we don't use those words anymore to explain that. I think another misperception or a myth is that it's due to ageing. And yes, it is more common in people as they get older, but it's not caused by ageing. And if, again, if you think it's due to ageing, then as a patient, what you'll think is, well, there's nothing I can do because I'm getting older. And so because I'm getting older, it's only going to get worse. So again, that's a bit of a myth or a misperception. Another one is that exercise isn't effective for people who have more severe disease, say on x-ray, or more severe pain and function. Again, that's not correct, and the research has shown that exercise is effective for all people with osteoarthritis, irrespective of their age or their comorbidities or their level of x-ray dysfunction and so forth. And another one is that we need to have an x-ray to be able to manage the condition, and x-rays are now not recommended for clinically diagnosing OA. They don't correlate with symptoms well, they don't predict response to treatment, they don't predict how someone will change over time, and all they do actually is reinforce these myths, and they, and x-rays and other imaging techniques such as MRI just lead to people being sent for inappropriate investigations and having inappropriate treatments like arthroscopy and joint replacement that they may not need.
Kim, thank you very much for your time today. I sincerely enjoyed hearing what you have to say, and I'm sure all of those listening to the podcast will too.
Thank you.